I do declare you vanquished a demon from this little girl. It's, I do declare I made you some scrambled eggs this morning.
The thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest.
Hot, Mike. Hot.
Yours isn't as hot, though.
No.
Okay, now we're good.
No, but I am going to go ahead and start this off with a... I don't have to cover it.
You don't have to cover it anymore. We have a solution.
The highest quality paper from Dunder Mifflin.
we have a Sons of Thunder solution.
It tastes papery.
Yes. I'm drinking...
a lightning bolt.
Lightning water.
Ooh.
I would tell you what the brand is, but they didn't pay us. Did you like the opening of the...
I did like it.
It was pretty good, right? Welcome. We've made it again.
We do have a sponsorship today.
Why don't you tell us, Joseph, who is responsible for this episode today?
Okay, quick question. Are you sick of oceans full of life? It may sound similar. This may sound... It's from the same company.
Okay.
When you're in the ocean and there's all that life and you're like, ew, gross. Our life things are overrated. Introducing from the Dead Sea Dolphin Tours, they proudly present the Dead Sea Snorkeling.
Okay.
The only underwater adventure where nothing swims, nothing bites, and nothing blinks back at you. Because it's all super... super dead. The only snorkeling adventure also where you'll see zero fish. No
sure.
fish.
Sure.
Twice the salt. A lot of salt. It's very salty.
Yeah. Very salty. Very salty. Dead Sea, yeah.
Just enough ancient mystery to make your therapist rich for decades. Could you imagine a bunch of kids in the Dead Sea? Because it's dead. Dead Sea, you know, there's so much death. I don't know. It's from them.
I've never thought about it from my therapist's perspective.
Yeah, think about your therapist. They're going to be like, oh, heck yeah. Imagine a bunch of kids. Like, we were at the Dead Sea, so it's like you're swimming in the Dead Sea, and it's like you ever get that in your mouth? You're like...
yes.
So imagine strapping on that snorkel, putting your face in that brine, and thinking, wow, this is just like a normal ocean, except it's actively trying to turn me into beef jerky. Our gods are barely certified, our equipment is pre-owned, and our liability waivers are longer than Leviticus. Dead Sea Snorkeling. Dead Sea Dolphin Tours sponsors Dead Sea Snorkeling, where you will see nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Is there any...
It's one of those things, like, if you're afraid of fish, you can tell people you've snorkeled.
You went snorkeling. It's like, where are you going this weekend? I'm going snorkeling, actually.
Granted, they tell you not to put your face under the water.
Right.
They're like, this will increase your blood pressure drastically.
Drastically. The salt intake is just really high. Yeah. Really, really high.
It's good.
I love that sponsor. It's a good one.
Right.
For those who want to snorkel but don't want the...
all those gross fish.
All the fish.
Fish breathe water. Or they breathe in water. It's messed up.
I'm not sure how that works. I have a sponsor for today. This sponsor is very close to, I think, our topic today.
Oh, cool.
So what I did was I said, hey, looked at all the list of everybody that says they want to sponsor. If you want to sponsor the Sons of Thunder podcast, just so you know, it is a long list of, you're on a waiting list.
You'll be on a waiting list, but please send them to us.
Please send them to us. I did reach out to, I looked down the list and I actually bumped this one up the list because I knew of our conversation today.
Okay.
So I would like to say thank you to our sponsor today, Chain Reactions, bracelets that break more than fashion rules. It's the proud sponsor of the Sons of Thunder podcast today. Are you tired of trendy wristbands that say nothing about your testimony? Want to wear something that just that doesn't just match your outfit, but matches your deliverance? Introducing Chain Reactions, the only bracelet company forged in the aftershocks of a midnight prison quake. These aren't just bracelets. They're bold declarations that say, "The chains fell off, but I stayed anyway." Every Chain Reactions bracelet is handcrafted to remind you of a core biblical truth. Freedom isn't about walking out, it's about who walked in. Our signature styles include the Philippi Original, rust-toned links on a black cord, modeled after the shackles Paul wore when he praised anyway. The Stayed for the Jailer Stack, three bands, one for the earthquake, one for the open door, and one for the soul that got saved because someone stayed. The Midnight Melody Band. It glows in the dark, like your testimony should. The Earthquake-Proof Faith Flex Cord. It's unsnappable, unshakable, and it comes with a tiny QR code that takes you directly to Acts chapter 16. For every purchase, we donate one bracelet to someone in a hard place, because sometimes all it takes is a reminder on your wrist to believe God's not done. So whether you're in the prison of your past, a cage of comparison, or a dungeon of doubt, don't just break the chains, wear what he did with them. Use promo code THUNDERSTAYED for 16% off your next order. That's 1% for every verse of the prison song we never got to read in Acts chapter 16. Chain Reactions Bracelet Company.
I'm just saying, if you are a worship pastor and you don't have all these on your wrist while you're leading worship.
I like the.
I don't know if you're really a worship pastor.
I like the Stayed for the Jailer Stack. You know, stacking bracelets is a big deal.
It is.
It's got the three stacks.
I think
the three bands. It's pretty good. I will say this: I saw their logo and their promo. And if you don't watch us on YouTube, I would say to go and check it out on YouTube because the graphics they sent us for the promotional packs and all that stuff was beautiful.
I haven't even seen it yet. I'm gonna have to go on YouTube.
You're gonna love Chain Reactions. You're gonna love them.
I don't doubt it.
Love them.
Love. Oh, is it a...
It's a commercial break.
If only.
Commercial break for the things we can't show.
I keep getting the paper in my mouth.
So the question is...
I kind of like it.
What are we going to talk about today?
Okay, so... I don't know. Just whatever,
you
man.
Told me you had something to talk about today.
I don't. I kind of do.
You may talk about my sermon from a couple weeks ago. Wednesday night. Second Kings.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
It was good. Elisha.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
passing the mantle.
Shut up. I don't want to talk about that.
Fine.
That sounds like
about?
A later thing. Well, you were talking about a minute ago, there were some pretty sweet bracelets that are, I don't think Paul and Silas called them bracelets though. They may have.
Maybe. You don't know.
Could you imagine Silas like, check out these bracelets, Paul? He's like, yeah, you can't even walk with them. You're just stuck.
We came into this prison. They gave us these really nice bracelets. I even got some for Michael's.
I wonder, like, mine's a little snug. Could you loosen this?
Is there what's the way to make it looser? It's like, look at, you know, like bracelets have like a clasp on them.
Yeah, it's like I've got a.
Can I get a link taken out of this so it fits a little more to my wrist?
You ever think Paul or one of them did say stuff like that just because he's like, I know I'm in here to like I might as well make it fun. We were going through the character series again.
Yep.
And one guy in particular that stuck out to me was Silas.
Okay.
I love the story of Silas because he's not, you read Silas and you think of this one scenario that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, but I mean, Silas is kind of spread out. He's got some stuff about him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit more about Silas than just being in prison.
So, yeah. I mean, that would be... What if you were known only for being in prison? It's like, that stinks. So while we're talking about this, we're going to kind of riddle some of his, like we're going to put some of his history throughout the story of,
okay.
of what, because I think we're talking about Paul and Silas in prison, right?
Sure.
So what did they do to get in prison?
So Paul and Silas
stole
a few things.
Yeah. They never got caught, neither. Never got caught.
They were in prison. They were there. I think that one of the things to recognize, so Paul was a New Testament. He hated the church early on.
I'm sorry, but it's like, what'd you do? It's like, I cast out demons, and I never got caught, neither. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're standing in front of the judge because you were just in prison. I don't understand. Paul was a guy who he hated the church, persecuted the church. He was very religious, very religious. He ended up...
Sounds like today.
A lot of religious people that hate the church. He tried to stop the church from growing. And one of the things that was kind of about Paul...
Is this in biblical times or is this today? Because it sounds like a lot of people nowadays. What am I going to do to stop this church from growing?
Yeah, anything I could do.
Sorry.
So Paul was a bad dude. If you read through the book of Acts, his name was Saul. His name was also Paul. One of the things people don't understand is they think Saul's name was changed.
Right.
But the truth is he had a Roman name and a Jewish name.
Yeah.
Right? Saul and Paul. So Saul was his Roman name. Paul was his Jewish name, or vice versa.
I think it's the other way.
It's the other way around.
Saul was...
Yes. Yeah. So
I wouldn't want to be called Saul.
I wouldn't either. Mainly because of him.
Well,
the reason. And the first Jewish Saul that was the king.
First king, yeah.
He's a bad dude.
He was okay at first.
He did okay.
Then he got all murdery.
Little crazy, a little obsessed with killing somebody. But Paul is the guy in the New Testament that was a church planter. We all know him as like this great thing, but he started out his story. He was a bad dude, hated the church. He was Saul of Tarsus, and he was the one that was persecuting the church. So then he gets saved radically on the road to Damascus, right? Jesus shows up. Hey, you need to be following me. He's like, I'm sorry, my bad. I'm all about it. He's blind, goes in.
That's interpretation of what happened.
That's exactly.
My bad. So Paul said,
let's fix this.
He's blind and thrown off his thought.
My bad. That's on me. You're right. I was. I did that. I did all those things.
Oh,
so he gets saved, and then he starts planting churches. He's like greatest evangelist ever. So he goes on a mission trip, right? Missionary journey. His first missionary journey, he takes a guy named Barnabas.
Sorry, I was looking at something. Yeah. Barnabas. The encourager. I love Barnabas.
Barnabas's name is not actually Barnabas. They call him Barnabas because...
His name is even much better than that.
His name, whatever. What I know is they say Barnabas means son of encouragement.
Right.
So I always tell the students and people, like, he was the first superhero name, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this guy, the encourager,
Barnabas. Clark Kent, Superman. Yeah,
Superman, exactly. So Barnabas goes on this mission trip with him. They go, they travel, they come back. It's great stuff happening. Well, while they were on that mission trip, there was another guy.
His name was Joseph, by the way.
His name was Joseph, yeah. You can go read it for yourself. It's in the book of Acts. So then they, after their first trip, they come back to Antioch, where the church had sent them out. Great moments, right? Great things. Then they get ready to go on their second trip. And Barnabas says, hey, Paul, I want to bring John Mark with us again. Well, part of the story we didn't tell.
Mark's a little turd.
John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, great guy. Mark is what he goes by. John Mark went on their first trip, and he didn't make it very far.
No.
And he's like, I want to go home. So
this is
he
so
goes home.
He goes home.
Which I'll tell you this, it would be difficult if we took, like, we've been on a lot of mission trips. We've been on a lot overseas and different places, and it's difficult if you ever go on a mission trip and somebody gets there and they don't want to be there and they want to go back home. They get homesick.
You talking about me?
No.
Oh.
I don't think you ever went home on a mission trip.
I didn't go home, but...
I've had a few where we would get to the destination. We'd start working, start serving. It's a student most of the time. I want to go home. I'm homesick. I had a couple of times where I had to send a student back home. And I'll be honest, the next year...
From an international trip?
No, from local.
Oh my gosh.
From local trips.
I was like, what?
I never sent one back from an international trip. From local ones, though.
You're stuck.
Yeah, fairly local. I mean, 5-6 hours, 8 hours. I mean,
ooh,
long enough.
Gracious.
So I was like, I'm not going to drive you back home, you little
wuss.
Your mom's going to come get you, right?
Yeah.
So had that happen a few times. Well, that's what happened with John Mark. He gets out there. He's like, I want to go home. I wasn't cut out for this.
It's a little different because they're still like, wherever you're at, there's probably like a Taco Bell.
Right.
They're like, you're potentially going to get murdered.
Yeah. People aren't going to love you on this trip. So they go out there. John Mark comes back home. So then when they get back to after the first trip, Barnabas tells Paul, he says, hey, we're going to go. Yeah, I'm with you. You know me. I'm your brother in Christ. I'm your encourager. Let's bring John Mark. And Paul says, heck no.
Yeah, get.
Ain't going to happen. We don't say his name anymore.
We talked about this before, too, and it reminded me because you said specifically, I remember you were teaching on a Wednesday night, and you told the students, you're like, I am not Barnabas. you said you are more of Paul of like, hey, I'm not, like, forget it. Like, yeah.
If you bailed on me, I'm not bringing you again.
I feel like lot of times I try to be more of the Barnabas, like, hey, man, you know, they messed up. Let's bring him on. You're like, no,
absolutely not. Not doing it. Because I've been on a trip where I had to send somebody home.
Right.
The next year, we've gone on another mission trip, sort of local, you know, it's within a few hours.
I'm ready to go this time.
And yeah, he's like, the kid's like, ow, I can't wait to go. Let's go on this mission. And I was like, sorry, bro. Slots are full. He's like, you still have four spots on the paper. I'm like, yeah, the paper's wrong. Your name's not on it. You're not going. I'm not taking you again because you, and you know, probably they grow. People grow. People change. People
probably.
Like, so from what I understand.
Yeah.
So Barnabas and Paul get in an argument. Paul says, I don't want to take him. Barnabas says he needs to go with us. Now he ends up later on in the story, way later on when Paul's writing letters, he says, John Mark's an awesome guy, right? He grew and matured in his faith. So the whole thing worked out. But in this moment, Paul says, I'm going to go one way, and Barnabas, you can go another way. So Barnabas goes with John Mark. They travel on. And then Paul picks up this guy named Silas. Silas was from the Jerusalem church.
Right.
There's a lot to be said about why even God orchestrated all this. Silas went for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. I think as we talked about even on the Wednesday night with students, Silas was a part of the Jerusalem Council, the church in Jerusalem, that made the new kind of creeds and statement of faith for the believers. And so how is that creed going to grow to all the churches unless you send somebody from that church, right?
Right.
Out to that. So Paul grabs Silas. Silas says, hey, I can go and do this. Great, great move, right? So they go and they travel. So they're on the second mission trip of Paul's. It's his second missionary journey. So he goes to all the places he went to before. Right? Because that's what you do on a mission trip. We've been to a couple places. We've been to Haiti together. Do we ever go to Guatemala together?
I think we went several times.
Okay. So, but we went with the same group, same missionary. And so when we got down there, we knew the places we were going to go, right?
He's a John Mark. I'm just kidding. That's terrible.
That is terrible.
It's fine. He won't watch this.
He's not watching this.
Yeah.
So we get down there. We go to the same. I remember going to Guatemala multiple times in a row because we had this partnership. And so we go down there, and we go to the same places we'd go before, right?
Right.
So it's familiar.
Yeah.
So I know, oh, we're going to this little city. I know the people that are there. I'm familiar with the area, familiar with those. So there's familiarity. So the first time you go, you're a little bit nervous because you don't know what's happening. Second time you go, same place, it's familiar.
Right.
You like it. Mm-hmm. Well, Paul's on this second missionary journey. It's all familiar so far. Now, Silas is new on the journey, but then he gets a vision. And the vision is you got to go to Macedonia. Paul's like, I've never been there before, but let's go. Because Paul was that kind of guy.
Right.
So they go to Macedonia. Never been there before. Very unique city. They go into Philippi. Philippi is a very unique city. It's not a primarily Jewish town at the time. So there's not like a synagogue they go to, whatever. So him and Silas go and they're like, okay, where's the people that we can lead to Jesus?
Right.
They typically, their custom, I think it was maybe you that even said, like, Paul's custom was go to the synagogue.
Every place he went, as was his custom. That's what it says in Scripture.
Yes, that was his custom. And that was kind of your phrase during that time of, and I don't remember which character you're, what you were
I think
talking
we were
about.
Going through Acts at that time.
That may be right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like every time Paul was entering into a new city, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom.
As was his custom. So that's what Paul did, right?
Right.
Because that's familiar.
Yes.
He gets to Philippi, there's no synagogue. So what's he supposed to do? He can't go to the synagogue. It's not there. So he's looking around. So him and Silas, they're just traveling around the city. It's like, all right, let's go down by the river. There's a little prayer group that meets down by the river. So he goes down there, leads a lady to the Lord named Lydia. Lydia's a businesswoman in town on business stuff. Yeah. So she's a businesswoman.
I don't know what that looks like. Yeah. I'm not a businesswoman.
So he goes out of the river. Lydia's there, and she gets saved. She falls in love with Jesus. From there, you've got Paul and Silas, they just keep going around. They're preaching to people all this. Well, there's a little girl that starts following around. She's possessed by a demon. Okay. And right. She begins calling out, these guys are the servants of the Most High. These guys are the servants of the Most High. So Paul gets fed up with it. And he's like, stop doing that. Demon, get out of her. Right. Now, there's a little more to that story, yeah, but it's really good.
Don't get.
Get. Acts chapter 16 is where this story is found. So he casts the demon out of this girl. Well, then she's freed. Well, now she can't tell the future anymore because the demonic spirit was doing that.
Right.
So she was owned by some men in the city. So now their fortune's gone. Their cash cow is no longer able to.
And if you've listened to episode 3, these are just straight up like they are living in the Egypt of their time. Like,
yes.
Hey, where's our money?
Where's our money?
Where's my money, man?
All they care about is their money. So this girl gets freed. The guys get mad. So they throw Paul and Silas into prison in Philippi.
Smart move. Helping out a child. I mean,
yes.
How dare they?
How dare they? But, it, you know, selfish reasons. So now Paul and Silas are thrown into prison in Philippi. So it's a new place.
New place.
It's a new mission trip. It's a new region. They don't know what to do. That their custom is a little bit thrown off because they don't have, it's not normal. This is a very different situation. Now they are in prison and they're locked up in there. They get beaten. They get, flogged. They get, cut up and just bruised up.
I guarantee you it's worse than we think because of probably the look on Paul and Silas's face the whole time.
Yes. Because they're I won't say enjoying it, but they are.
You'll see later. What happened.
Yes. So as that's how they ended up in prison in Philippi.
Right.
They led a lady to the Lord named Lydia. They led a little slave girl. They freed her of the demon, and now they're in prison for it.
Right.
I've Smart. Always said too, I will be your Barnabas, but I will not be your Silas.
Right.
I will encourage you. I'm just not going to prison with you. Yeah. Right? That's Barnabas didn't go to prison with Paul. I think that's something people don't realize. They're like, oh, Barnabas, yeah, well, he was in prison. Barnabas wasn't ever actually in prison with Paul.
Right.
It was Silas.
I wonder if Paul's like, let's see how far I can push this guy.
Right.
I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep pressing.
Poor Silas.
I wonder if he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what? We're getting arrested?
Yeah. Paul, did this happen before? Paul's like, no, Barnabas never got us in this kind of predicament. What's your problem, Silas?
Encourage us out of this. Silas,
anytime we get in trouble, Barnabas would be really nice to people. So, yeah. Silas, go do that. Silas
you have really nice hair? It's like he's bald.
Yeah, man. So, that's where they were. Now, as they're in prison, okay, the rest of the story is as they're in prison, they are worshiping. They're singing songs about midnight.
Right.
It's dark. Earthquake. Prison doors open, chains fall off.
Of everybody. All prison doors open.
Prison chains fall off.
This is something that's gotten me lately.
This is something nobody talks about much.
Nobody talks about this.
So everything opens up. Now, the jailer is outside, the one that beat Paul and Silas and stuck them in there. There's a Roman law that if your prisoner escapes, you have to take their place.
Yeah.
It's so bad that jailers typically, if they lost a prisoner, they would just kill themselves because they didn't want to take the place of the prisoner.
Right. Right.
So it's a substitute thing, right?
Because they know the kind of beating they just got.
Yes, exactly. And they know how nasty and terrible and awful it is. So
like, I'm a bad person, so yeah. I'd rather do this.
I'm just gonna stay here. So the prison doors open. It's midnight. It shakes. The earthquakes. The jailer looks in, sees that the doors are open. He can't see all the way in, right, because it's deep into the prison. But he sees the doors are open, and there's an earthquake. And so he just assumes everybody has left, grabs his sword to commit suicide.
Right.
And then he hears a voice from inside.
From a familiar inmate.
From a very familiar inmate that won't stop talking when he was beating him.
and singing after he's been shackled.
Yeah, he's chaining Paul up inside, and he's like putting the clasps on. He's like, "Is that too tight?" And Paul's like, "No, it feels pretty good." And he's like cramming it on harder, and he's like, "That's a little better." Now we'll see what happens.
Now I feel like I am suffering alongside as the Lord was suffering. He's like, "You're really annoying." Yeah. You're an annoying.
And as he's getting beaten, he's like, "Do you know Jesus yet?" Bam, bam, bam. Do you know Jesus yet? So as the jailer is about to kill himself, Paul speaks up from the prison. "Hey, we're all in here. No need to take yourself. No need to take your life. Guy freaks out. What are you talking about? Comes in, says, bring the lights. Let's see it.
Again, that's what gets me. There are other people in the jail.
And the other people are not in there because they love Jesus so much.
Probably not.
More than likely, they are prisoners that committed a crime.
Yes.
A heinous crime to be put into a prison.
So my question that as I was reading this for, again, read it a million times, mm-hmm. and not a million, that's a lot.
That's a lot of times.
That's a lot of times. So I've read this and I noticed this, I think it was this past Sunday. Were you preaching on this or something?
I've been in Philippians, so.
Oh, you may have mentioned it, or I just completely tuned you out and I just started flipping through scripture.
Probably it.
So as I was looking through it, I was like, okay, so wait a minute. Mm-hmm. There's other people. All the chains fell off of everyone.
Yes.
Which is a very unique earthquake. We've experienced an earthquake lately, and I wasn't wearing like a wristband. It just popped
stuff
off.
Didn't,
like,
my doors didn't unlock.
Yeah, like, click, and the doors just, oh, it's like, I don't understand.
It does say in the scripture, it says that the prison doors were opened, the gates were opened, which doesn't say they fell off. They just all just opened up. And you know they had locks on them.
It's a very unique.
Very unique earthquake. Very unique.
I wonder if they're like, huh. there's got to be.
You almost wonder, was it just at the prison? Or was it like all around?
Because everybody's like,
it was just at the prison.
There was no earthquake. It's like, bro, everything started shaking. And all of a sudden I heard click, 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 click. And all the doors open. And everybody's like, chick. It's like, huh. Interesting. So, yeah. But everybody, of course, it could have been. Everybody is so shocked, like, what just happened?
Right.
What just happened?
What is going
but
on?
The thing is, when Paul said, don't kill yourself, we're all here.
Yes.
Everybody in the jail.
Even the nasty ones.
We're still there. They didn't get up and run out.
Right.
Why?
That's a great question.
I have ideas. Like, I have thoughts, but I don't think I'm allowed to.
So you text.
Share
so
my
you
thoughts.
So you had texted me this to whenever we were getting ready to shoot this today.
Paid subscription.
And you said, yeah, paid $1,000 to hear this
for this one.
So you would text me and said, hey, you know, here's what we, because whenever we shoot these podcasts, we don't really know what's going to happen, right? We're like, hey, what's the topic?
I never know what's going to come out of my mouth.
The first one that we record, our first episode was, Ehud, right? Or no, it wasn't Ehud. It was Elisha. It was the axe head, right? Yeah. The axe head.
Ehud's coming.
And so Ehud's coming. Ehud's that's going to be a great one.
Fun.
Great one.
We may do that next week.
That may be the one, yeah. As we do things, it's like, okay, what do you want to talk about? It's like, I don't know. This has stuck out to me. This stuck out to me. You know, just kind of like one thing. This one was the one that stuck out to you. So when you said, you know, let's talk about Paul and Silas in prison. And you said specifically, nobody left.
Nobody.
Nobody. And so I went, I did a little bit of researching, a little bit of praying, a little bit of figuring out, a little bit. And so I'm a pastor. I came up with 5 points.
Okay.
But I don't want to like read them.
I'm not a pastor, so let's make this fast. let's roll through this. These.
Let's get through this. So here's what I asked myself as I was sitting there thinking about it. You sent me the text. Let's talk about this. And so the question I asked myself, I wrote it down. What kind of experience causes a prisoner to stay put when gates fly open?
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
I think a couple things.
I mean, I have some answers, but I'd like to know.
I think one's fear.
Okay.
Absolute fear of like, even though these are bad dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, should be, we're thinking, I mean, Paul and Silas weren't bad guys.
Right.
But there were false accusations brought up against them. So these other guys, they're not, I don't think that this was a culture where they were like, oh, you're doing good stuff. We're going to put you in prison. I don't think that's how they were. I think it was, you've done bad things. So I think fear, right. I think fear of what
do
just
you think,
happened.
Do you think fear of Paul and Silas, or do you think fear of something just like is bigger than you? Or is it both and?
I think both. I think both because they were like, this has never happened until these two whack jobs got in here. And now that they're in here and they're singing, and then I wonder if as soon as it started shaking, they were like singing like, "Woo, praise Jesus." And they're like, you know, getting full of the spirit. And everybody's like,
I think it's those chains too, where like you're cuffed and you can't raise them.
Right.
Right. And so they're like, this is the bridge, Lord. I'd like to raise my hands.
Break so Lord, every chain. Thank you.
Now I can praise.
It's like we were already, I wonder if like they started coming up and they knew because they're like, it's going to break.
Yeah.
It's like, break every chain. And they're like, what just happened? I think a little bit, I think a little bit of it was fear.
Okay.
Little pee.
Yeah.
I know I would have. Could you imagine sitting there?
No. That's what I wrote down.
Even as a Christian, that would have scared
down,
me.
I wrote down a bunch of different scenarios. Imagine you're doing a 10-year sentence, right? Okay. You're a prisoner in the prison.
What put you in jail for 10 years? I don't know.
Something bad. Okay. Probably axe head flew off at chopping wood and you killed somebody.
It was not, happened, but it wasn't your fault.
It wasn't fully your fault. But so imagine you're in a 10-year sentence, right? You're a prisoner. Okay. You've been doing this for 10 years. They bring in these two new guys. They get thrown in. They're wrongly accused, but you don't care, right? You don't care what they're accused of. You don't. No. You just think, oh, they're bad guys like me. They're publicly beaten, though. These guys are beaten real fresh.
Right.
Real fresh. And so they're locked in an inner cell, worse than you are. So you're thinking, these guys are bad dudes, right? I'm in here. I'm almost done with my sentence.
They were giggling an awful lot.
They were laughing. So at midnight, instead of like, you know, if you're beaten up and you're in an inner cell, you're probably like groaning and like there's like this,
right.
Like, oh gosh, oh, this is terrible.
Because
instead of that, predicaments
were nasty.
Nasty. I mean, this is not the kind of jail that's like 3-course meals,
right?
You know, three meals a day or any of that kind of stuff. This is like rats in the corner,
yeah,
urine that's in the floor, you know, yeah, all that stuff.
Kinda so like my bedroom.
what in the world?
When
these guys get thrown in, instead of them being like groaning over in the side of the floor, they start singing.
Freaks.
And right? Like, is this not freaky? So they start singing. It's loud. You know they're singing loud. You know they're singing passionately. They're not right. Just like halfway. They're going for it. They're joy filled. And here's what I think. I think as a prisoner in the darkest of the darkest for that long, and you see people thrown in, beat up, like all that, I don't think you can unsee it.
Right.
You can't unsee that. I think it's something that they witnessed guys that could have and should have cursed God in their mind.
Right.
And instead of that, they worshiped him instead.
Right.
And so the question, I think that the prisoners in there are miserable, and I think they are awful, like it's in the worst place they'll ever. And the chains fall off, and those guys don't run.
Right.
And you're like, okay, these guys were the ones. These guys are obviously the ones that caused this, because you don't know. You know, it's nice. So I think one of the things is you can't unsee it. And these guys, what are these guys doing that I don't have? Because they've got something different. One of the things I wrote down was this: the prisoners, the other prisoners.
What are you smiling about? I'm thinking of where this is going. Like, I've never thought of this before.
I know.
And it just really, it's crazy.
They didn't just hear worship. They were undone by it.
Ooh.
How'd you think about that? Have you ever been in a worship service? Oh, that was a bomb.
Oh, noise.
Let's flesh that out for those that don't understand it.
Yeah, not me. Yeah, them.
Say it again like I'm 5. So I don't think. I don't think these guys had ever heard worship like that before, right? I don't think there's no cursing, there's no taunting, there was no singing song of revenge. You know, it's just straight up Paul and Silas. And here's what I think too. I don't think Paul and Silas were singing about God.
Ooh.
I think they were singing to him.
Ooh.
And so there's something that radically changes in a prisoner. Like they were undone seeing what was happening. And so one of the things that I wrote down in chains with blood on their backs in the dark, the presence of God came in so thick, so undeniable, so holy, it turned the jail cell into a sanctuary, and you don't run away from that. I don't think you run away from it. You sit in it, you weep, you surrender in it. Whenever you are in the presence of God, you remember the story of you and me in high school, right? On a trip, it was a conference.
You're the one that got blasted.
But you knew it.
I knew it because I was,
We went to a conference.
You got blasted and I was just.
I got beat up and blistered. One of those
defining
moments.
I mean, I did too,
moments.
But I was like, I didn't do it.
He wanted to make sure that you got it too.
He did.
We were at a conference. We go into this worship service, big worship service. We're all hands raised, like all in it.
Yeah.
And then, and this was back in like the 90s, I guess. I mean, this was late 90s, probably, right? 2000, early 2000s
of that.
Yeah, we worship, great night, hear a speaker, whatever. And on the way back to the hotel room, I do something stupid.
You did.
A couple of guys were being dumb.
I still remember it.
A couple of guys were being dumb, and I walk over and just make some stupid gesture or whatever on the way. And it was just, and it was to make everybody laugh.
Something right? I would do now.
Something you would do right now.
I wouldn't.
To make everybody laugh. We go back into our hotel place, and our dad was the one leading that trip. I don't even know why he was even on the trip, honestly.
I think it was for this reason.
I can't remember any of the circumstances that led to this, but I remember we go in there, and he said, "So what did you all think?" And I remember thinking, like, it was a great worship service.
Yeah, man, God was just all
over
us.
God was all over us. And he looked at me in the eyes, and you, and I want to say he did this after the big group.
He right? did.
He did it after the big group.
It was you, one other guy, and he. I was standing in there, and I was like, why am I getting this?
And you're like, I want to get out of here.
I was, yeah.
But I remember he said, you did not worship God tonight. Don't ever say it again.
I remember seeing my, I don't know how Dad did this. He looked at all, like the three guys that were in that room, looked at all three of us dead and right at the same time.
Yes.
It was like,
It's like the story he used to tell of his dad driving, and whenever he was sitting in the back of the car and he had made fun of the preacher, and his dad looked in the rearview mirror the rest of the way home, did not take his eyes off of his. It's like that kind of moment.
It was.
I remember he said, you did not worship God tonight. Don't ever say that again. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, if you're in the presence of a holy God, you don't go and act like an idiot after that.
Yeah.
And it was like,
You will leave different.
You will leave different.
And you left dumber.
I left dumber and stupid. I left, you know, and one of those things, like, I left so that everybody would laugh, right? I was like, as I was going out, I was like, hey, I want to make everybody laugh in this moment because this is a funny thing that's happening. And it was even, I was even responding to something somebody else did. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, this will be fun.
It's like, let's break this tension of the Holy Spirit moving and do
that's
this.
That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Once the Holy Spirit moves, here come the sons of thunder. Quench it right out.
Yeah.
But I think that's a, I believe that if the, I think Paul and Silas were probably, it was that moment where like, you don't leave the same, right?
Right.
So,
They did worship.
So they didn't just hear worship. They were undone by it. They witnessed two men that could have cursed God, but instead they worshiped him. I think another thing, they realized, the prisoners in the walls, they realized what they needed wasn't an open gate, but an open heaven. And here's what I wrote down for that. This is good too. I should like preach this. I don't know why I'm not wasting it on this podcast with you. I don't know.
I agree.
The prison wasn't their biggest problem. Their souls and sins were. When the earth shook and the chains fell off, they understood something. This wasn't an escape plan, but it was an invitation. Because here's the deal. God gives us a choice, right?
Right.
It's an invitation to him. It's not an escape plan. It's not out of jail, but it's into salvation. So they had seen, for years and years and years, they had seen prison gates closed over and over and over again. But for a moment, they saw heaven's gates open, which was a thing you can't unsee. Let's see. I got two more kind of reasons I think the prisoners didn't leave. And then we'll chat a little more, I guess, or whatever. God's glory filled the prison.
Right.
No doubt about it, right? His glory filled the prison, everything. It wasn't metaphorical. The quake, the timing, the precision. Again, breaking chains open is a unique earthquake. This is not anytime an earthquake happens, they have to go and relock all the jail cells. That's not the way it works.
Fluff pillows.
Right, right.
That's Are you guys okay? Worried about you.
I'd written down like the fear of the Lord, like you said, like they were so afraid in that moment, because like when you experience the Lord, there's fearful.
You should be.
Yeah.
He's God.
Yes. Yeah.
He literally just shook like wristbands off of you.
Yes. All of your bracelets.
And opened doors without like, yeah.
Yeah.
Without crumbling the entire jail on top of them.
Wild. When God shows up like that, you don't sprint for the door. You drop to your knees in prayer.
Ooh.
And then the last thing I wrote down was specifically about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas didn't just stay, they led. And here's what I think may have happened. Leadership doesn't just shout commands, right? It sets an atmosphere. I say a lot of times as a pastor, I don't, you can lead people a couple of different ways. You can say, hey, go do this, go do this, go do this, go do this. Or you can actually set the atmosphere where people go and do it on their own. It's the phrase or that whole story or analogy or whatever. If you want to have somebody build you a boat, don't give them blueprints. let them long for the sea, and then they'll build the boat, right? Same situation. When the quake hit and the chains fell, everyone looked to Paul and Silas. Everybody. Like, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Everybody's like, what are these guys
Things
doing?
Are different because you're in the room.
Because you're in the room. And Paul didn't flinch. He didn't panic. He pastored.
Yeah.
He just pastored in that moment. He held the line. He stood between the prisoners and the edge of chaos, and he said this, God did this. Let's wait and see what happens next. I think in that moment, Paul realized a couple of things. One, I'll tell you why the men didn't run, because they had just been set free. That's what has happened.
Right.
They may be sitting in the prison cell, but they had just been set free. The gate, and here's what I wrote this to. This is so good. The gate's opening wasn't the miracle. The miracle was that God stepped into the darkest place and lit it up. The miracle was that God showed up. It was not that the gates open. Gates open with a key, right? That means every time you open it, is it a key? Is it a miracle? They weren't chained up anymore. They didn't need to run. They had already been rescued on the inside. What makes a prisoner stay when they're free, set free? And it is, I think, again, Paul saying, you know, hang on, guys. God just did this. Let's see what he's going to continue doing.
Oh, yeah.
And they just did it. And he yells out to the jailer.
And see, here's the thing that when you said that about everybody stopped, and they were basically waiting for Paul to respond.
Yeah.
Because the reason God showed up in that jail cell was because of the prayer and the praise from Paul and Silas.
Yep.
Like, God orchestrated all this. So here's the question. Who is the Paul in your life? Like, who is the person in your life? Are you trying to be that Paul where it's like, here's my question. When you step into a room, is it different?
Right.
It should be. It should be like you step in the room and people should feel the presence of God as a believer.
Yes.
They should feel the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. You've said before, like, when you're saved, you don't get a junior version of the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, you're not going to, like, hey.
Step one.
Yeah. Hey, God, can I upsize this as soon as I get it? No. And the other reason I think, like, you don't really hear a lot about Silas, but there's speculation and people think that Silas is mentioned later on in Scripture as Silvanus, like that was his name.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that got me the most after hearing the story and how amazing that was. You hear more about Paul, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But you don't hear that much. Like, Silas had such an impact because he was such a firm believer. But you don't necessarily hear all that. All you think about when you think of Silas, you're like, Paul and Silas in the prison cells. Like,
yes,
they were, and they're singing because they're crazy. But
yeah,
one thing that stuck out to me is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Silas wrote the books of 1 and 2 Peter. Like, he's the one that he wrote.
He scribed it. Yeah, he scribed
he
it.
He was the scribe. As Peter was reading it, he was writing it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that got me while I was teaching on Silas was 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm wondering, is he thinking the whole time, like, man, then I was in a prison cell. Like, Peter's writing this. And I wonder if, like, Silas, I can't imagine him just being one of those scribes. It's like,
yeah. Is it a period there or a comma?
Hold on.
Okay. Right.
Silas is like, man, let's go. I wonder if it's like, he's like, woo, come on, let's do this. And then it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
Like, every time I think about this story, I think, my goodness, like, to be holy means to be set apart.
Yeah.
You want to know what happened when Paul and Silas went to prison? They were set apart.
They were set apart.
They were very different.
Yeah. I think it's wild to think. We talk about Silas. You know, there's not a lot written about him in the Scripture. There's enough that we can kind of gather around. I think he was a worshiper. I think he was a worshiper.
I think he had to carry it. I don't think Paul. Dad always told us that preachers who can sing aren't real preachers. They're not.
That's exactly right. Preachers who can sing are not real preachers. So the preacher had to take a choir guy with him, or a music
That's
guy.
That's exactly.
He took a worship leader with him on his trip. Barnabas could probably sing too then, as I'm guessing.
Silas was like, he's like, Paul, I'm just going to sing the harmony. Because, you know, you bring in harmonies and it's just going to sound better regardless.
Right.
He's got the chains. He's like, ch, 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 ch.
Yeah. I think it's worth noting that whenever these guys get thrown into prison and they do this worship service, I taught a group of students one time at a D-Now about this specific moment in Acts 16. And I said, here's the problem with us today. We are, if you've ever been in a really great worship service, you walk out and you think, man, this was awesome, right? I got so much. I'm so thankful that I got this today.
Yes.
This was one of the greatest things in my life. I am thankful. This was good for me. It's good for me. That's not the way Acts 16's worship goes. Acts 16's worship goes, as soon as you experience God, it is not, I'm so glad he did this for me. It's the jailer, I can't forget about him. He's about to lose his life. I believe whenever we truly, and it goes back to that conference that we had as teenagers, and Dad was like, you didn't worship God tonight. Like, right. Because you walked out and it was about you. And go look at Isaiah 6. As soon as Isaiah sees God, he's like, whatever you want. You don't even realize Isaiah's even there until he's like, I'm a sinful, woe is me. I shouldn't be here right now.
It's not like,
I will stay quiet in this corner so I don't
go. This is amazing. It's like, oh no.
He's not saying, you know, this is the greatest thing in my life. I'm so thankful that I got, thank you for showing me this. Thank you. He walks away. He says, whatever you want. Yeah. I didn't.
Because you know what God did in Isaiah 6 is he didn't even do it. The angels were rattling the
earth threshold. The whole thresholds of the temple, the holy temple were shaken. And as I think about it, it's like we go into a worship service and we walk out and we think about ourselves. And yeah. It's like, no. And the reason we go to church most of the time, people say, I go to church so that I can get filled with the Spirit of God again. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter if the jailers are out there dying.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter if you come in here for this and the world doesn't get changed by it. The moment that they were freed, Paul, you realize he can't see the jailer, right? He's going to be multiple doors outside. He can't see him. Soon as the prison doors break open, soon as the chains fall off.
He's been in prison enough. He knows what's going on. Like,
this jailer is out there, can't see out, because he has to say, even like bring in the lights, you know, I got to see what's going on. He comes in, surrenders. Paul says to the jailer, you know, the moment that worship sets you free, I believe is the moment you realize you are here for a purpose and the purpose is not you. The purpose is something else. It's the mission of God. Because the moment that freedom comes for Paul and Silas, Paul says, hey, jailer, I remember you're out there. If you can hear me, we're all still in here. The other prisoners are just like, I'm not going anywhere.
He's like, we're all in here. And one guy's like, yeah.
Or oh, yeah, yeah. Like, me too. I'm here too.
Yeah. It's like, bro's having an asthma attack over there.
Yeah. Can you bring that inhaler while you're coming in? Because he's really struggling.
And like my thought process too in this is the world would look different if we mimicked what happened when the Lord revealed himself and delivered them. If we handled it the way Paul and Silas did, the world would be different. The church would be different.
Yes.
Because what happens in today's culture is we, as Christians in America especially, we live in the like last week's episode of Egypt.
Yeah.
So what we do is as soon as we go through a hardship and God delivers us, we run.
Right.
We run straight out of the jail. We don't care about anything.
Right.
We'll go out praise, like hands raised and all that stuff. But
I've been freed. Yeah. Instead of saying,
as the jailer
ends
his life.
Yes.
As the jailer is done. Like
the
whole reason God did that is so that you can provide hope for others. Like I don't know.
And what people don't realize too is, you know, you keep fleshing that story out in Acts 16. So the jailer ends up coming in and he's like falling down at Paul's
house. What must I do
like,
to be saved?
What do I have to do? And Paul says, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to take you. We're going to lead you to the Lord. We're going to baptize you. We're going to make sure your family knows this Jesus. So him and his whole family get saved. Paul baptized. But as soon as he gets saved, the jailer bandages up Paul and Silas, cleans their wounds, and then cooks them some eggs. That's what he does. And I'm thinking, how is that? Once the jailer gets saved, he realizes he's there to serve. He was just beating them in authority, and now he's serving them because the kingdom of God is like flipped upside down, right, from the world. Egypt says gain as much power as you can, whereas Jesus says serve as many people as you can. Like give away as much authority as you can. Give away as much power as you can.
And we've got that mixed up because what we do is we're like, I can't believe you did this to me.
Right.
It's like, why should we be surprised when the world acts like the world?
Right. They're supposed, that's what they're good at. That's what the world's good at.
We're really good at it.
I just think, can you imagine? And then the rest of the story, you go the rest of the story in Acts 16 where, you know, the guys realize that Paul is actually Roman and they're like, uh-oh, we weren't supposed to throw him in prison because he's actually Roman, that we can't do this. Yeah. And so they're like, let him go. And so the jailer's like, hey guys, you guys have been set free. And Paul's like, oh, nuh-uh.
No.
Not quietly. You know what? I'll go put the chains back on. The locks are all broken on them, but I'll go pretend the chains are still on me. Somebody's got to come in here and tell me. And so he makes those guys that put him in jail come and actually say he's set free publicly so that he can, he's like, and then they say to Paul and Silas, like, get out of town. They're like, oh, we're on our way. And they stay there a longer time before they leave. What are you going to do? Throw them in jail again?
Could you?
You think about that. What are they going to do? He's arrest them. Where are we going to put him this time?
Shaka, not it. Yeah. Not doing it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the next person that had to go in that jail cell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like they're trying to clasp one. They're like, why is this not?
Yeah. It's not connecting.
Eternally broken. It's weird. Yeah.
Well, I think that there was, you know, obviously some revival broke out in Philippi.
Right.
Because later, about 10 years later, Paul's writing from prison to the church at Philippi, and it's called Philippians. And one of the most joy-drenched letters in all the Bible. Incredible.
It was such a great time when I was thrown in prison.
I loved it when I was with you guys. Hey, jailer, you remember? Remember when that happened? And jailer's like, yeah.
Remember when you beat me?
Yeah. He's like, oh, my bad about that. Because even Paul's saying in that letter in Philippians, he's like, you know, whenever you get there, he's like, my chains have become a way for me to, the whole prison guard, a whole imperial guard knows who Jesus is. And that jailer in Philippi is like, I bet they do. Any earthquakes, Paul? I'm going to send that back with Epaphroditus. Any earthquakes popping up? Natural disasters? Natural disasters?
Why are we the only ones that have to deal with this?
I think the best part is to know that as soon as you meet and you're in the presence of God, your first response isn't, I feel so good. It's, they need to know Jesus. So don't forget your jailer.
Don't forget your jailer. I can still just, though, imagine, like, if somebody had interviewed one of the other people in the jail cells, you know, it's like, hey, man, what happened on this, in this, like, did you know, you've heard of Paul and Silas? Paul's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
I shared a prison cell with him once.
Shared a prison cell. Oh, man.
That's some good stuff.
I
had some more notes, but I can't find them anywhere. They must be in my office.
I really want to bring out somebody with like a Colonel Sanders accent, though.
Yeah.
Like somebody, or
Colonel
just like
Sanders?
Like a Savannah. I keep thinking everything from The Office. It's like, I do declare. I've been imprisoned with this man named Paul.
That sounds like the guy that threw him in prison.
Yeah. I don't know why he has to declare all the time.
He declares everything. He doesn't just say it. He declares
I do declare you're going into the prison cell, sir. I do declare you vanquished a demon from this little girl, sir. I do declare I made you some scrambled eggs this morning. I do declare I'm going to stab myself.
That paints the jailer in a very different light for me.
It should.
Good times.
Yeah, that's what it's actually when he says, what must I do? I do declare, what must I do? I do declare my family needs to hear about this.
Do all of your characters stem from The Office?
Yes, every one of them.
All of them.
Every stinking one of them.
Oh, that's good.
Come off your mouth like molasses.
Oh, goodness gracious. Congratulations. We'll stop there. Congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode.
I do declare you made it to the end of the episode.
If you laughed, cried, confessed something accidentally, or now need to call your therapist, you are an official Thunder Buddy! As we close, our commissioning is always the same, and it's so simple. May your joy be louder than your inner Pharisee. I'm sorry. May your joy be loud enough to scare your inner Pharisee. The Thunder left us a microphone, and for reasons heaven refuses to explain, we're still using it. This has been the Sons of Thunder podcast, where the forecast is always 100% chance of laughter with a side of emotional damage.
I do declare.
And so you always say bye in your...
Bye! Oh, goodness. I do declare.